Well, in any case, in November of 1249, Lewis times in advance, well-timed, by the way, it's in the fall, the summer is over, they're not going to get flooded out by the Nile Valley the way the Fifth Crusade was. He launches his expedition up from the port, marching on Cairo. The Mamelukes are waiting for him. What they do is they fortify a canal, the Ashum Tana, which is on one of the branches. And it checks, it's near the city of Masura. It checks the advance of Lewis's army. It stalls him, and Lewis has to flank the fortifications along the canal, which connects two major branches of the Nile. Lewis does so. He's got good intelligence. On February 8th, 1250, he gets a force across the canal, which attacks, carries the camp, drives the Mamelukes and the Egyptian forces away from the camp. The rest of the army starts crossing. And it comes in very good order. The tactical handling of this is very good. But the advance force under Robert of Artois sees the fleeing Muslim forces, and instead of holding the camp and assisting in the crossing, goes off in an ill-advised charge and blunders into the city of Mansoura, where he and his knights get surrounded, get cut to pieces. The Muslims rally and charge. They catch Lewis's army. There's brutal fighting along the canal. Eventually, Lewis wins through, but all he's got is a bridgehead on the canal, and then now he is in turn besieged. And this siege now lasts for several months. The army is reduced in numbers, and finally, in April of 1250, there's an attempted breakout, and it just doesn't work. The French army at that point is exhausted and surrenders. The king himself is captured, and again, to Lewis's credit, I mean, whatever else you may say about his generalship, he refused to escape and leave his men behind. This is not what a true king should do. Lewis is captured. The king of France is actually captured. Jeanville is captured. He tells us of the horrors of the captivity. The sultan himself, he didn't last long after his victory. He's killed by his Mameluke generals. But the sultan himself is embarrassed by the extent of the disaster. There are so many French prisoners, many of them wounded and dying of starvation, that they kill them. They don't know what else to do with them. Lewis arranges a ransom. It's 800,000 livres tournois, I mentioned. An enormous sum, and yet it can be paid. Again, a testimony to the French institutions. It is paid. Lewis is released when much of it is paid. A good deal of it has to be shaken down from the Templars, who really don't want to pay up. And Lewis goes back to Acre, and then spends the next four and a half years in Acre, essentially trying to make some sort of sense out of Outremer and ruling Outremer virtually as its king. And that brief period of Lewis's administration put some sort of order into Cyprus and Acre and the competing barons. He eventually has to go back to France because his mother, who was the regent, Blanche, she dies, and Lewis finally has to go back to France to put his kingdom in order. But he does leave a military presence in Outremer, paid by him and paid by his successors. Well, this Seventh Crusade is really an embarrassing defeat. And as I mentioned, in 1268, later in life, Lewis went on yet an Eighth Crusade. This was an ill-considered adventure. Joinville was against it. Most of the nobility were against it. It was in response to Mameluke advances into Palestine. The crusade never gets even near Egypt or Palestine. It stops at Tunis, largely because Charles of Anjou has hijacked it. Charles, at this point, has ambitions in Achaia, in Italy, in Sicily, and he thinks, you know, why not take Tunis and North Africa as well? They're useful ports. It degenerates into a siege of the city. There's the usual problems of disease and lack of provisions. And on August 25th, 1270, Lewis dies. Lewis dies convinced that he's being punished for his sins, for his failure. He reputedly said as his last words, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem," lamenting the fact that he never made it to Jerusalem, that all of his efforts, so much of his reign devoted to taking back the holy city since 1244, you know, had come to naught. Well, unknown to the participants, unknown to those crusaders and French nobles who saw their king pass on, the crusading movement had essentially passed. This Eighth Crusade, which is something of an anticlimactic appendix to the Seventh Crusade, was essentially the last of the Great Crusades and was quickly seen as such as crusading warfare quickly passed out of fashion thereafter. And so with the inconclusive siege of Tunis, that is a fitting point to close with the great expeditions of the Crusades and what this whole 200 years meant, what came out of these Ventures of the Crusades is our last and final lecture in this series.